Congregation of Christ, beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord. This afternoon, we have the last sermon that I'll preach before you as your pastor. For nearly 5 years, we've been together as a congregation and a minister. I'm no math whiz, but that's somewhere in the neighborhood of about 500 sermons that I've written and delivered and that you've heard and received. And in that, in the Sunday after Sunday ministry of God's Word, through the foolishness of preaching, we've all been witness to and partakers of something very special. And that something very special that we've all witnessed and partaken of together, in terms of its foundation, it has little or nothing to do with our involvement, either with myself as the pastor or with you as the congregation. In terms of its foundation, I'm talking, though of course in one respect, it's had everything to do with us, because I'm the pastor and you're the congregation. But that's something very special that we've been witness to and that we've partaken of together. In terms of its foundation, it has to do with God and with His ministry to His people. It has everything to do with Him and His involvement in the life of His church as He accomplishes His plan, as He fulfills His purpose, as He works all things after the counsel of His own will, like Paul mentions in Ephesians chapter 1. Because make no mistake about it, brothers and sisters, make no mistake about it. If you hear nothing besides this, hear this. God has been at work in this church over the course of the last 5 years. And the good work that God has started, has begun here at Providence Reformed Church of Winnipeg, that work will continue. He'll provide for you in the days and weeks and months and years which we pray are to be there for us. He'll bless you with a faithful pastor who will come in and pick up the same work that I picked up from Reverend Fred Folkerts 5 years ago. And He'll bless you with guidance and direction according to your need. Because that good work that God has begun in and among this congregation, it will come to completion. It will be fully accomplished, and it will find its end. Not a stopping point, but an end in terms of completion and fulfillment and finalized summation. So be of good cheer, brothers and sisters. Be of good cheer. Trust that God, who holds the future, holds out good things for you. Because just as Paul could say what he says here to the church in Philippi, so too I can say the same thing to this local congregation of Christ, of which all of us are members. Namely, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so we see the theme of our sermon this afternoon. A Good Cause to be Confident is the title. But the theme of this passage is Scripture speaks of the future of the church with confidence. And as it does, we hear it telling us, one, that this is God's work. It's God's work. Two, it will come to completion. And three, it will not be finished until the end. Scripture speaks, brothers and sisters, of the future of the church with good confidence. Therefore, we have a good cause to be confident. Now, as things open up for us in this verse, notice that the verse speaks about the fact that the future of the church and the work that pertains to it is God's work. Just like the language of the first point tells us. This is drawn from the exact language of the verse. He who has begun a good work in you. The He of whom Paul speaks there in verse 6, of course, is none other than God Himself. The good work that He has begun is nothing other than the work of salvation through Jesus Christ. That package that we've talked about, which is salvation and everything that pertains to God's blessings given to us in Christ and His work and plan and purpose in our lives as His people. And those, according to the passage properly, those in whom God has begun that good work are the believers here in Philippi, the ones Paul's writing to. And so for our purposes, having noted those items as they pertain to the original audience of the letter and the original intent of the epistle that Paul wrote, we can easily see how those same items apply to the situation here today, so many years later. After all, we belong to the church of Jesus Christ, just like our brothers and sisters in Philippi did. And so, God, who was at work among them, is at work among us too. The work that God has begun in their lives, that work of salvation and everything pertaining to it, is that work that He has begun in and among us. And we, as believers in Jesus Christ, members of the covenant and church of God, we're the ones in whom God has begun this work of salvation. Therefore, in noting those elements of the verse and of our situation today, even seeing the parallels in that regard between us here in Winnipeg and our brothers and sisters from so long ago in Philippi, in the ancient Near East, the Mediterranean world, we can go on furthermore to note items of application, items of direct pertinence in our lives as God speaks to us in this passage. And the first item for us to note is that the future work of the continuance of the church is not only God's work, but as such, it is a work of grace. The future work of the continuance of the church is a work that is all of grace. Because even as God has graciously begun this work in our hearts and lives, at whatever time and location we might live, whether it's in the first century or in the 21st century, we must thereby confess that this work that has been undertaken and begun by Him, it has its root and its ground in His own free and sovereign will. Forever, God is to be praised as the one who has begun a good work in you. Because unless God acted upon us or in your heart or life, we would forever remain on the outside looking in. So make no mistake about it, congregation. Make no mistake about it. If God has begun a good work in you, then it's because God, in grace, started that work in you. And from the very beginning then, our lives, as those who belong to Jesus Christ, are marked. They are marked as having their root and their foundation in God's grace given to us and in God's work, which has begun in us. And so the second item that we note is that God's gracious work in the future continuance of the church involves His gracious work that plays itself out in the lives of His people, in the lives of real people. It's not some kind of a pie-in-the-sky ideal that God has begun a work and it's a work of grace. But it's a work that God has begun of grace in your life. God doesn't deal with a people who always remain in the abstract, like trophies behind a case and a pane of glass, which are there to be admired, but there's no real contact with them. The church is not a museum, not full of relics that are nice to look at and to be on display, but there's no real contact. Now, God deals with His people. He deals with those whom He has established a relationship with, in whose lives He has begun something special, something wonderful, something that's marked by His grace. You, as a congregation, you're not faceless. You're not nameless. You're not drones. You're not clones. You're not mannequins. You're people. You're people like Carl and Lori Noctegal, whose child is being baptized today. You're people like Nick and Fody DeVries, our brother who was laid to rest a month or so ago. Real people with real lives, real situations. That's who God is dealing with. Us as a congregation. His people scattered throughout all time, throughout all history. And His people who are gathered in this place and in this time. We, who are members of the covenant of grace. And doesn't our presence here in this church, at this service, on this Lord's Day, doesn't all of that testify and bear witness to that very fact? That God's dealing with His people is not something abstract. For those of you who are philosophers, it's not a Platonic ideal which has some kind of an existence in an upper realm but never comes to touch the earth. Doesn't the fact that we are here bear witness to the fact that God deals with real people in real situations and that He enters into their lives to perform a good work of grace? Because if it's not because of God's grace having touched our lives, then why else are we here? If He hasn't called us, then why are we here? If He doesn't provide for us and take care of us, then why are we here? The very fact that we are here today and that we are here every Sunday, assembled together as those called to worship Him, that's evidence of His work of grace that has begun in your hearts and lives. So rest assured that God's grace is sufficient even for you, His beloved people. Because although the beginning of His work in your life, it may have started a long time ago, some of you who are older will know what I'm talking about. Yet, that work is still continuing, even up to this day. God saw you through an immigration back in the 1950s and through lean and tough times. Lean and tough times that folks my age probably don't fully realize or appreciate. Maybe God's work of grace has only begun recently in your heart or life. But even if that's the case, rejoice and be glad because that work of grace has still begun, right? And 50 years from now, Lord willing, you'll have opportunity to testify to God and to that work of grace which began at that point so long ago and which is still under construction and in the process of coming to completion. Because God who began that work will surely see that it continues. And maybe you sit here tonight, wondering this afternoon, wondering whether or not God has begun a gracious work of salvation in your life. Well, if that's the case, then seek Him for the same. Look to Him in faith and according to His promise that that work of grace might not only begin, but that it might come to its completion according to His work and mercy. I would say this, don't rest content, any of you, until you know the grace of God that brings salvation. Don't go another day in this life until you know that a work of grace has begun in your heart. And I'm not saying thereby you search out for the mysterious or that you engage in some kind of a inward retrospection and scraping out your insides to wonder if something has begun. But I'm saying hear the promise of God's Word and believe it in faith and trust Him in grace to make good on what He promises. Look to Christ and live before God in humility. Whatever the case might be, don't presume upon God's grace as though it's bound to spill over into your life, since apparently it's being poured out into everybody else's life, whether it's your parents or your siblings or whatever. But earnestly seek God in grace, according to His grace, that He might grant you His grace. The future of the church, it's God's work, congregation. And as that work is a work of grace, it's a work which belongs to God alone. And for this reason, then, we have a good cause to be confident. The next part of the verse that we want to look at is the part which tells us that the future of the church is a work that will come to completion. Even like it says in the passage, He who has begun a good work in you will complete it. What confidence? What confidence? I'm not asking a question. I'm saying, what confidence flows forth from Paul's pen as he writes these words? With no hesitation whatsoever, he simply affirms and he asserts that God will accomplish, He will do, He will complete, He will finish, and He will make good on the work that He has graciously begun in us. Paul speaks of something here that is yet future with absolute certainty that it will in fact one day come to pass. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it. Notice that even though the work of which Paul is speaking is a present work, right? He who has begun a good work in you, it's a work already beginning in us and by God's grace alone, and it's a work that has a future finishing point, but yet, at this present time, that work is yet to be completed. Even the work that the Lord has begun in the hearts and lives of our loved ones who have been called home, even that is a work which is yet incomplete. Because they too await along with us for the day of resurrection and consummation and the summing up and true finalizing of all things. Even they anticipate that this good work will come to its completion. And recognizing that this work is a work in progress that God has begun, it should teach us two things. It should teach us, one, to be thankful to God that He has begun such a glorious work of grace in our hearts and lives. After all, God was under no obligation to begin that good work in us, right? But He has done it of grace. Therefore, we should be thankful. And two, it should teach us not only to be thankful, but to be patient. To be patient. If the Christian could walk around with a label, they would walk around with a label, not the only label, but they could walk around with a label that says a work in progress, under construction. This is a work yet to be completed, either in our own lives individually Because all of us are imperfect and defiled with sin. We know that all too well. But this is a work to be completed in the lives of everyone around you. The lives of others who struggle with various sins, who walk in weakness, and who suffer, sometimes for the cause of Christ, other times because of the weariness and burdensome nature of this life. And so we learn to be thankful in prosperity that God has given us a measure of grace and has begun a good work in us. And we learn to be patient as we face adversity or affliction of whatever kind it might be, because we know that the work He has begun will be completed. That work in progress label, that sign that says under construction, it will not forever be worn around our neck. But one day, the tools by which we are fashioned into the image of Christ and by which His grace is poured into our hearts and lives will be put away and will be formed and fitted and fashioned for life in eternity, in the new heavens and in the new earth. And that work surely will be completed, congregation. That work of grace that He has begun in us surely will be completed. You can bank on that. You can take that as a guarantee. You can own that as an assured fact. Because whether Fred Folkerts is the pastor of this church, or whether Dan Donovan is the pastor of this church, or whether whoever is the pastor of this church is a work of God's grace. He's the one who has begun something here. He's the one who touches hearts and lives. Therefore, He's the one who will bring this work to completion. And in the meantime, He's the one who will equip you so that you have the ability to continue, to press on. He's the one that will make the ministry of His word, regardless of who brings it, to be a blessing and benefit to you. Regardless of the situation you find yourself in, regardless of the passages that are preached or the man who brings that word, because God has a plan and a purpose that He is carrying out. And though there be a rich and wide diversity of needs among the congregation and only one message that goes forth, yet as God's Spirit takes that one message, He is able to touch in a real and living way the hearts and lives of everyone in the congregation. So be confident in God, brothers and sisters. Be confident that He will sum all things up eventually, and that He will complete that good work that He has begun in you. And be confident that when He does sum those things up, when He does complete that work, whenever that may be, however long it might take for that day to roll around, be confident that He will put the finishing touches in place on the work of grace that He has begun in you, that He has begun in us, and that He will be glorified and praised. The last item for us to note, as it pertains to the confidence with which Scripture speaks of the future of the church, is that this work, although it will eventually be completed, as we just heard, will be completed. It will yet be completed and finished, not until the end. Verse 6, He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, God will complete the work that He has begun on the last day, on the day of Jesus Christ, until the day of Jesus Christ. As someone once said, it ain't over till it's over. And this work of grace will not be finished until it's finished. It will not come to its end until it comes to its end. And what this ought to make us realize, congregation, is that the process of the work which God has begun in us and which He one day will bring to completion, that process is a slow process. It's a slow process in each of our lives, to be sure. But it's a slow process as well when we add in the factor that God is working not just in our lives individually or even in our church as a whole, but that He's working in the hearts and lives of all of His people throughout the course and scope of history, throughout the course and scope of geography. As the elect are being gathered and harvested from the four corners of the earth, this mighty work of God's grace, which begins in the hearts and lives of people, unfolds over time. Not just church history time, but time in our lives. Over years, over decades, over the course of a lifetime. And even though the scope of that work is mind-bogglingly broad, it's massive and mighty, something which itself testifies to God's infinite grace and wisdom and power, yet we also know that it's not too great for God to undertake and accomplish, is it? He not only plans these things, but He is able to execute them and accomplish them. After all, just like it says in the Word, so too, we believe with heart and confess with the mouth, our God is in heaven. He does whatever He pleases. Psalm 115, verse 3. Well, one thing that it pleases God to do is to work out His purpose over the course of time, over the duration of centuries, millennia, let alone the span of our lives. His work of grace, while it certainly includes us as individuals, nevertheless, we have to remember that the good work that God has begun in us is the good work that God has begun in the body of Christ, in the people that He has set His love upon, even from all eternity past. The good work that God has begun is a good work begun in the church. The chosen people who are to be redeemed and renewed and in the end saved, glorified, and ushered into eternity. And just like a combine goes through the fields and harvests the crop one row at a time, so too the work of salvation that God has begun in His people, in our hearts and lives, unfolds not all at once, but over the course of time. And for that, we can rejoice. In that, we can be confident. Because the confession and recognition that this work will not be finished until the end, the confession and recognition that this work will not be finished until the end, that's not a confession or recognition of failure or of inadequacy. Or of why does it take so long, Lord? The fact that this will not be over till it's over, and that God's work, which has begun in our hearts and lives, will not be finished until the end, that doesn't call for downcast resolution. It doesn't call for us to throw our hands up into the air and think, I guess it'll never happen. It seems so far away. I guess we'll just have to wait until the end. It won't be finished until then, so I'll just have to wait until it's all said and done. It's not that, brothers and sisters. It's not that. Far from it. So this is not a case, after all, of Yogi Berra saying, it ain't over till it's over. Not by a long shot. It's a case, rather, of God promising something in His Word and of fixing a day when He will bring that promise to pass and finish this gracious work that He has begun in our hearts and lives. Because having been subdued by His grace and called to Christ in faith, God assures us that He will put the finishing touches on the work that He started. And while you can be sure that this work is God's work and that it will come to completion and that it will not be finished to the end, as you may suspect and as you probably already know, you can be assured that there will be tough times along the way as well. Tough times for the church, tough times for her members, but the future still remains bright because of what God promises. Therefore, let me exhort you not to focus on fighting, not to focus on trouble, not to focus on those things that can serve as stumbling blocks. But let me exhort you to press on. Look to the future and the horizon and the finish line that God has marked out. Continue toward that. Press on in the good fight of faith. Run the race. You know the pictures and images that Scripture sets forth in this regard. Let us fix our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith. Christ has blazed that trail for us by accomplishing all things for us. He causes us to press on by true faith in Him and by the power of His Spirit. For all of us, this will mean different things. For the deacons among us, whoever they might be from year to year, it will mean serving and ministering the mercy of Christ as priests who care for those in need. For the elders, it will mean governing and overseeing the flock, shepherding the sheep of Christ as kings who look out for the well-being of those who are in their domain. For the lay members of the congregation, it will mean continuing to encourage one another. It will mean continuing to pray for one another. It will mean continuing to labor with, to work alongside, and to worship God in spirit and in truth as one body. So the fact that this is God's work and that it will come to completion and that it will not be completed until the end, do not let that hinder you from making the most, the fact that it won't be completed until the end especially. It might seem like a long process that is never ending and ongoing, but it is purpose driven. So let nothing hinder you from making the most of every opportunity that God gives to you in this life, in this church, and in the outworking of His work of grace which has begun in you. Let nothing hinder you from serving Him according to His Word, and with a believing heart. Put aside petty bickering. Put aside those things that serve as a snare. Turn away from turmoil and put behind you those things that can easily and wisely be avoided. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, as we hearken back to what we heard in Matthew's gospel, then offer them your left. If someone asks for your shirt, then give them your coat also. If someone compels you to walk with them 1 mile, then volunteer to go 2 miles with them. Because in doing all of these things, you will simply be doing, working out, what God has first worked in you, namely, showing grace, tenderness, compassion, and forgiveness, even as God Himself has shown you grace, tenderness, compassion, and forgiveness. And as He who has begun that good work in you, so too then ought you to be putting those things into practice for the fellowship and communion of the saints, for the betterment and blessing of your fellow believer. Above all things, though, remember that the work in which all of you are involved and in which all of you are called to be involved is a work of God's grace. Remember that and be confident in that. And remember as well, it's a work that will not be finished until the end. Let that make you patient. Let that make you endure. And let that make you use the time He gives to you for the outworking of His grace to be a time where you are active in giving yourself into His service. May God add His blessing in all of these things to each of us. And may we remember those words that were used by the last pastor from this same book as he gave his farewell sermon. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Amen.